And now I'm telling you, that's because of our Father. Because He's so awesome. He loves us. Give us the wonderful weather, right? So, did you pray for the weather? You did? You believe in prayer? Oh, good, good. So what did you pray for? Normal? Everything? Right? Oh, pray for your dad. That's very important. Today, we're going to learn a lesson together about praying. And I'm going to ask you and ask everyone, well, pray for your dad. Okay? He's going to go through a surgery Wednesday and stay overnight in Houston. But let's pray and lift him up to Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, and our His only begotten Son. All right? So, would you pray for Phoebe's dad, for Josh and Caleb's dad also? Okay? Pray for him today and this week. Would you lead us in prayer also? Okay. Phoebe will lead us in prayer. Then after she prays, we'll pray together for her dad. Okay?
Bye. Dear Lord, protect my dad for a Wednesday surgery and he can come back with us at church and you can protect him from the surgery and it cannot be bad. Amen.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we pray for George, pray for Josh and Caleb and Phoebe's dad, for Lisa's husband, that you are with him every day. Be with him, encourage him, your Holy Spirit give him strength. And give the wisdom of the doctor, and then let him go through this surgery. Not only he will be healed, but he will be renewed. He will be renewed in you, and you will be a new man in the family, in the workplace, and in your kingdom. Father, be with him, and teach us so we can be a man of faith, so we can pray for our brother all together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So remember, pray for George, baby's dad, this week, all right? Okay, thank you. So you're free to go to the classroom. It's such a great pleasure to see those little children can pray together. And such a great pleasure to see our youth group serving together. Serving together. Some of you starting today, some of you serving for the last several months, some of you for the last couple of years. I remember when I was in your age, I started serving the Lord. So, pray for you guys, and then today our topic is the grace of God. I hope we still have the PowerPoint, and we also have the remote. Alright, the grace of God. Do we have anyone named Grace here? No? But do you know anyone named Grace? Right? You have friends, you know somebody named Grace, right? Okay, tell me, what is Grace? Anyone? Anyone can tell me what is Grace? Mercy? Okay, good. That's a good start. What is grace? Alright. If someone put a simple definition about grace, about justice, and about mercy, what's the difference? He said, grace is getting what we do not deserve. Justice is getting what we do deserve. And mercy is not getting what we do deserve. You got it? Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Justice is getting what we do deserve. And mercy is not getting what we do deserve. You see that there's a little bit difference. All right. So today we're going to read a Bible verse from Titus chapter 2. If you have Bible, unless we have the PowerPoint come up. Titus chapter 2. Found it? Oh, okay. Alright, you better get a Bible. Chapter Titus, very, very close to the end. Very, very close to the end. Right before the Hebrews and Book of Philemon. If you found it, we will read Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Verse 11 through 14. No, I just downloaded it from my Gmail to here. Because Lambert told me this is the only computer we'll use. Alright, that's alright. While they're working on the technical problem, let's read the Bible verse from Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Together, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. All right. So, verse 11 tells us the grace of God has appeared. The grace of God has appeared. And that offers salvation to who? To all people. Right? So, what is the grace of God? What is the grace of God? Who is grace of God? Jesus is the grace of God. We still have mosquito here? That's okay. Jesus is the grace of God. Because you remember, grace is getting what we do not deserve. We as human beings, our behavior, our sinful nature, we have made so many mistakes. Even yesterday, we made some mistakes, right? Some of you maybe ate too much. And some of you maybe saying something maybe you regret. But every day we're making some mistakes. And what we deserve is definitely not heaven. But God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to take all our sins away. To take all our sins away. Remember the verse 14, what he said? Who gave himself for us. Jesus gave himself for us to do what? To redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. So, you see, Jesus came to this world to sacrifice himself, try to give us the salvation. And the salvation is not only in our mind, it's not only a knowledge, it's not only come to church. The salvation itself is including, at least in verse 14, chapter 2 of Titus, says two things. One is redeem. Redeem us, redeem me from all the wickedness. But that's not the end. We said, hey, we believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus washed all our sins, now we are a new being. That's great. But that's not the end. The next says, his salvation, the grace of God, Jesus Christ, has come to purify us. So not only we are redeemed from all the wickedness, from all the sinful nature, but he wants to purify us so we can be a people of his own. So that's the salvation. And nowadays we mention too much about the first part. God is love and Jesus loves us, so he washed our sins away. and we stop there. So we only remember, hey, God, Jesus saved us so we can go to heaven. That's not complete. Because in verse 14 it says clearly, He redeemed us and also He purified. Not only for us, for Him, for His glory. So a complete, a sounded salvation, including those two parts. One is to redeem us, and the other one is to purify us. So redemption from sin and sanctification of the nature go together, go hand in hand. We cannot just have one. We have to have both, and make a peculiar people unto God, free from guilt and condemnation, and purified by the Holy Spirit. That's the grace. And that's the salvation. So the grace refers to the perfect salvation, including what? Including redemption, remission of sins, justification, reconciliation, being born from above, sanctification, constantly being renewed and being transformed. Okay. You're amazing. Okay. Well, I never used this before. Alright, let's see what we missed. And let me just finish this sentence. And being transformed into the image of the Son of God finally. So the grace of God, who is Jesus Christ, bring the salvation appeal to all people. And not just heaven, not just sin forgiven, but also include being purified and sanctification. Alright, we talk about this. What is grace? Grace versus justice and mercy. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. And justice is getting what we deserve. And mercy is not getting what we do deserve. So it is the grace of God that we can be the children of God. Because we do not deserve that. But Jesus came and full of grace and full of truth and come to save us. Save us not only from the sin, but also to purify us so we can be a people of His own. Okay. I guess you guys still jot it down so it doesn't move. Okay. So we're at this, right? For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no. So the grace of God appeared to all the people. That salvation, including, teach us in several things to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life in present age. Not only that, but also while we are waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, and who gave Himself to us to redeem us from all the wickedness, and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. So we talk about verse 14. Jesus Christ came, who gave Himself on the cross for us, to redeem us and to purify us. Okay? And then we go back to see the grace that's for all the people. I'm learning to use this remote. Alright. That's okay. Thank you. Alright, this is another version, King James Version. The difference is very similar, but there's a couple differences. That the grace will teach us that denying ungodliness The first one teaches us to say no, but also denying ungodliness and worldly lust. And we should live soberly. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So, what is the soberly? We'll talk about that a little bit later. And look for that blessed hope. So we have three things we learn from this grace. The grace itself teaches us to say no, to deny, to renounce those ungodliness. And also to live soberly, righteously, and godly. And also to wait for the blessed hope. Those are three things in this world that we need to do. So he didn't say, go to church. He didn't say have fun. He mentions three important things beyond that. Alright? Okay. That's the King James Version. And then let's look at the next page. Alright. Yeah, this one. First of all, the grace is for all. The grace is for all. Bring salvation to all people. Or the other version says, for or all people. You know, in Isaiah 52, verse 10 says, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. So, people say, hey, into New Testament, the salvation is for all. But now, in Old Testament, in Isaiah, it says, all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Thank you. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior. Our God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved. So salvation is for all. It's not only for some people who grow up in a Christian family. It's not for some people who is capable of serving the Lord. It's for all the people. And in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And a lot of people use this verse to say, hey, Christianity is so exclusive because they push people out. Right? Because only through Jesus Christ. But if you look at from the other side, let me read this a little bit different to you. No one comes to the Father except through the power, through the authority, through the beauty, through the position, through the money, through the ranks, through the smartness, through everything else. If we have anything else besides Jesus Christ, a lot of people will be excluded, including you and me. You see what I'm talking about? If we said no one can come to Heavenly Father, except through, not Jesus Christ, but through the ranks of your score in the school, only the top five can go to heaven. Then we're in trouble, right? You guys will have no trouble. I was in trouble. When I was in high school, I'd never been top five. Alright? And if he says, no one go to Heavenly Father except money, except power, except position, except knowledge, except degree, except a lot of other things, then you and I and a lot of people will be excluded from the salvation. But Jesus said, no one go to Heavenly Father except me. That means everyone is willing to repent, to accept Jesus Christ, then everyone can go to Heavenly Father. And that's the heart of God. Desire all be saved. All people, all nations to be saved. I remember when I was in military in Taiwan, in southern tip of Taiwan, I met a grandma who never knew how to read, who never been to school. But she was a Christian. I believe she's in heaven right now, because that's about maybe 30 years ago already. At that time, she was about 70-some, 80 years old. She doesn't know how to read. But when you listen to her prayer, you know he has a very close relationship with Jesus. His prayer was power, was strength. She knew the Father. She knew the Father. So if anybody puts some standard besides through Jesus Christ, somebody can read, somebody can write beautifully, somebody can be artistic, somebody can play guitar or play piano, then can go to heaven because we need a choir there. Then I'm in trouble. I don't know how to play guitar. I don't know how to play piano. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, except me. I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And that's the inclusiveness, not exclusiveness, of Christianity. We all have opportunity to accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Grace not only for all, but before we talk about this, let's go back one step. Since grace is for all, so in church, we have all kind of different people. Somebody you like, somebody you don't. But if we are Christian, we are all children of God. Right? So, if you are still on Titus chapter 2, you look at from verse 1 through verse 10. Paul was telling Titus, the young man at that time, how to handle the church administrative things. So he reminds Titus to teach, to remind the older people, the older lady, the young man, and the young lady, and then somebody as a slave. So in the church in that Titus was in, have a lot of different people. Some people have slaves. And some people are older. Some people are young. There's men and there's women. There's so many different kinds of people in the church. That's why it's precious to know that we are one. You may or may not like somebody. You may or may not work well with somebody. But we are all God's children. And we need to be one in Him. And that's very important. So, don't just look over for yourself. When there's new friends come over, remember, you are the ambassador of Christ, if you're a Christian already. Greet him. Say welcome and with a smile. Even though he's stranger to you. Or if there's someone come over, you feel like, there's one thing I'm afraid in this church. That we are only for some, but not for all. We're only for some people with engineering degree. We're only for some people in this community with house in this community. We're only for some have good job in certain place. No! This church is for everyone who is accepting Jesus Christ, who is willing to come. And one day we have to be reminded that we have to including all different people into our church, into one church group, no matter his or her background, no matter how capable or how incapable he is or she is. And maybe there's one day, there's a homeless people coming through the door. What's our response? What's our response? Our response will tell what kind of church we are. If there's a friend, a school classmate come over that you don't like, come through that door. If you choose to stand far away, or if you come over to welcome him or welcome her. If there's someone sitting here who doesn't know how to find the Bible, are you going to sit beside him or her and to help him or help her? If someone comes in, smells a little bit, I don't be afraid of sitting on his side to help him out. Years ago, when I was in your age, I was going to a church that's about 5 to 10 minutes away from our house. One day I come out of church, I saw a line of the tricycles. You know, in Taiwan, there's a, we don't have taxis that many at that time. So people earn money through biking the tricycles. So people hopping into the tricycle and go back home. I saw a line of tricycles with those laborers just outside of church wall. And I heard one of them was saying, it's not belong to us. We are the worker. We don't want to go into that church. Church should be for everyone. Doesn't matter what our job is. Doesn't matter what dress we are having. Doesn't matter our lifestyle, our degree, our position, our wealthiness. Church is for people who believe in God and to treat each other as brothers and sisters. Not only church is for all, but also share the grace. Not only grace for all, but also grace changes life. If somebody tells you, hey, I'm a Christian, I got baptized, but I left the church for several years already, then you're going to challenge him or her. The grace should change his life. The grace is more than just knowledge, more than just activities, more than just perform some routines in a building. Because verse 12 tells us, teaches us how to live in present age. To renounce, to deny, to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. And to live soberly. Soberly in other versions as self-controlled. Or righteously, upright, and godly, and to wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So this salvation, this grace, this Jesus Christ, not only is going to stop when we heard about the story of the cross, when we make decision to be baptized, it doesn't stop there. It will teach us every day how to live in present age. To say no to several things. To say yes to several things. And to wait for the blessed hope. That's the grace. If the grace doesn't change life, it's not grace at all. When you see some little ones, 1 year old, 2 year old, walking around, or even six months, crawling, You like to go over, hug them, and hold them, right? They are so precious. Because you can see their change every week. Growing bigger, smiling, calling, sometimes crying in the back. But those are the fun. Because you can see the changes. That's life. If someone doesn't change at all, like the tree, some of the tree in front is not really alive. Right? Stay there for 10 years. Doesn't move. Doesn't change color. But you look at outside, the garden. Every week you come over, you see the difference. Right? That's life. Grace will bring the changes. Then I'm going to challenge you. What kind of change you have received or you are getting progress from you were baptized. From the first time you heard about Jesus Christ. From last week. I was reminded when the rain poured down. And I told Grandpa Lee, I said, that's a reminder from God. I'm a man of little faith. Last Sunday I was telling Pastor, and some other people also telling Pastor, we should have a plan B. Because in case Saturday was raining, what are we going to do? And we saw the weather change. And we saw the rain stop. We saw the sunshine come out. We saw the breeze coming over. And we saw there's not much mosquitoes. There's still a couple yesterday afternoon, right? But that's so wonderful. We all have a great time. We saw a lot of new friends. And God reminds us this morning. Those beautiful weather is because of somebody's prayer. those beautiful ways are because God is graceful. God is awesome and powerful. That's reminding that I'm a man of little faith. So I'm changing through God's reminder. And hopefully every day. And I'm encouraging you to do the same. Because now you're still young. And you have great potential in front of you. Especially some of you from NCUT students. Today, this Sunday, is maybe the last Sunday you'll be here for a long time. Right? You guys are leaving. You know they're leaving? 17th, they're going to head back to Taiwan. They've been here for 9 months or plus or minus, right? And some of them been here most of the week. And I hope you will know this grace more personally. And I hope and I pray that this grace is also for you. And this grace also brings the changes in your life. That this grace, not only talking about the story of Jesus Christ come to this world for us, not only he has wisdom to have sermons, not only he has power to have miracles, not only he has the love to hold his disciples, not only he has the strength to go through the cross, not only he has the power to overcome the death and buried and 3 days resurrected, but he loves you. And he has a plan for you. Otherwise you will not be here. Right? This 1 year, you didn't know you have this 1 year in the United States with Comfort Community Church, with so many friends. You were taking pictures just 20 minutes ago outside, right? Because he has a plan for you and he loves you. You have the opportunity to listen to the story, to make decisions in your life, and then bring those changes in your life. Because God will remind you. He will remind you. He will teach you. He will teach you how to live in the present age. To renounce, deny, say no to several things. You know what are those things. To live soberly. Self-control, righteously, and godly. You know, people say, hey, these three things in three different areas. Soberly is to ourselves. We need to be clear-minded. Don't follow people to do something you are not clear. Righteously is toward other people. You treat people with righteousness, with respect. Godly, you have right relationship with God. So this is what the Bible told us to live. How to live with ourselves. How to live with people surround us. How to live with God, with the right relationship with God. And also, not only that, but wait for the blessed hope. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. You can imagine when you go back to Taiwan, your family will be joyful waiting for you, right? I don't know if they will go to the airport waiting for you, but they were waiting for you, exciting. And Angel, you're waiting for your dad a couple days ago, right? He went on a business trip and for maybe 10 days, you didn't see him. You're anxious waiting for him. Right? And we are. We Christians are waiting patiently for Jesus Christ coming back. Because that's the glorious appearing. The first time Jesus comes to this world, he's humble. He's the son of a carpenter. He goes through the world to understand every one of us. The suffering, the temptation, the pressure. But the second time, when he comes back, he will come back gloriously. He will rule. He will judge. He is the king. So we as Christians, we wait for him. We anxiously expected for him to come back. And yesterday when I was prepared for this, I found a name. I never know this guy before, but I'd like to share with you. His name is Luis Palau. He was born in Argentina. He's about 70-some, almost 80 years old. He has a very good family. But his father passed away suddenly. And then he doesn't have a lot of opportunity to be attorney like he was going to be, or businessman. So he came to Oregon. He came to the United States and to a Bible college. And after that, he started to, his father was a preacher. So he became a minister. So he gradually, he followed Billy Graham, become his translator in Spanish. So, and gradually he has his own, either crusade or festival or evangelic meeting. 1971, or somewhere like that, he went to Peru. And there's a lady who was a communist and terrorist. Now we know what terrorists do, right? They bomb, they do those. 40-some years ago, they don't have that yet. So they use what? They use knife, they use gun. A lady, a young lady, heard about him on the Christian radio in Spanish every day. And she was mad. She was with hatred. So she was against him. And she heard about Luis Palau will come to Peru. So she wanted to go to that meeting. She wanted to kill him. She wanted to kill him. And there's some information from the government. Knew somebody will do something. And tell Luis Palau, says, hey, you probably will be dangerous if you want to cancel your trip. No. You'll continue to do that. And then, he said, then you have to follow our instruction very closely. He was a little scared, but he decided to continue with the evangelical meeting. And when he was calling that evening, this lady tried to go through the crowd, because people are believing Christ, come to the front. So she tried to go to the front and kill him. Even though she heard about those words, the message, and she was struggling, but she decided, I'm going to kill this guy tonight. And a small lady comes to her front and says, hey, can I help you? What I can help you to stop her. Because the small lady feel like maybe she wants to become a Christian. So she comes to her and says, how can I help you? And she was stopped, and she just pushed that lady away. And she saw that action already take a lot of people look at from different angles to her. So she just left. But she left. But Holy Spirit did. That night she cannot sleep. She cannot sleep. Till morning, she kneeled down. Accept Jesus Christ. Luis Palau didn't know that. Until 10 years later, he heard about her and found her. 10 years later, what she was doing. Before that night, she killed about 12 people already. So Luis is not the first one she's going to kill. But 10 years later, she was helping to establish 5 churches already. And she was actively involved in church. Also, she has an orphanage to feed between 500 to 1,000 children. That's change. Grace brings change. And Jesus Christ, the grace of God, has the power to bring changes to everyone who comes to Him. Everyone who comes to Him. Do you want to be changed? Is there something in your life that bothers you? Is there something in your life that you don't have the strength to overcome? Is there something inside of you that you feel your weakness? Is there something you want to do, you like to do, you like to pray, you like to read Bible, but you just cannot wake up? You're just too tired. You're just too busy. You want to help someone, but you're just shy. You don't know how to say anything. Is that something that Jesus can help you? Is there something that Jesus can help you to change? All right. The grace of God, we have learned today 3 things. First of all, the grace of God is Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us and to purify us for him, not for us only, for him, to make a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Because if somebody is godly, you want to do what God likes to do, then God always do good. So if we are going to follow him, we are eager to do what is good. Second, grace, the salvation, is for all the people. It's to all the people. So don't deny somebody. Don't feel like, oh, he has no chance. No, God never give up. God never give up. The third is, this grace will teach us in present age how to live. To say no, to renounce, to deny some of the things, some of the habits, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly. But you say, okay, Benjamin, I heard about this. I knew some of it, but how to do it? How to do that? But how? Two things. If you forget all those, that's fine. Remember two things. First, make sure you build up a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you cannot be here next week because you're in Taiwan already. That's fine. Not be sitting in this church, it's okay. But to build up a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's far more important. The second is to practice. It's to practice. Don't just listen. To practice what you have learned. To practice what you read from the Bible. Those are the two things will make us to know the grace personally. And to be effectively to live our life in today's age. I know some of you will go to college next year, the year after, or 10 years from now. You know what? Most of you, the next 10 years will be the most important 10 years in your life. If you're age 20, 15, some of you 15, okay, 10 years later, you'll be 25. You already graduated from college. You maybe have a job already. Some of you maybe get married already. Mark is scared. Grant is only 15, and then Benjamin says 10 years later, maybe he'll get married. Don't worry about that. Some of you 10, 12, 12 years old. 10 years later, you're 22. So the next 10 years is the most important 10 years in your life. A lot of changes. You'll go through from junior high to high school to college and graduate, find a job, and meet someone in your eye. And I would encourage you, the next 10 years, make sure these two things. Build up your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And make sure you practice what you have heard in the church, what you have learned through the Bible. Because, I'm not going to read those because time is getting close. But those verses, you can see, not only Jesus say that. Jesus say, hey, you got to practice. Because a lot of people, in Matthew chapter 23, some people, the Pharisees, they know, they have the knowledge, but Jesus say they don't practice. Okay? In 1 Timothy, Paul tells the young Timothy, says, you have to practice so people will see your progress. In Hebrew, says, you have to practice. In 1 John, old John says, you have to practice. In 2 Peter, so every disciple, I cannot say every, most of the disciples writing the Bible, remind us, and especially when they are getting older, they are telling the follower, they're telling the younger disciples this, you have to practice. Because without practice, your relationship is weak. You don't believe it? You don't believe it? yesterday. Some of you playing volleyball, but you didn't practice a lot, right? You were just change the shoes, go up there, and then, hey, I can play. I'm young. I got 12 energy. But MCUT student was pretty good. They're number three, right? But you have potential to go even farther, right? The youth group. We are putting the team together. Oh, this is Nick. This is Jeffrey. This is, so you guys practice for 5 minutes, and you guys on. I saw Grant was coming late, and then just hop in, right? Imagine that. If you practice, you'll be a much better team. Right? You will not miss that one. You have confidence. The same thing. Without practice, we have the knowledge. You know how to play ball. But without practice, you know, some of them come here 8 in the morning Sunday, 8:30. They are practicing their worship. They're playing guitar, they're playing piano, they're singing, they're praying. They practice every Sunday so they can serve the Lord. Without practice, even though you know how to play, you know how to sing, you cannot come up and do that. So knowledge is important, but without practice, we will be the weak link. Without practice, we will be the weak link. And how to practice? You start from Bible study, sharing. I don't know how to say that, but just a couple sentences. I don't know how to do that, but hey, when they're together, I can help. If I knew how to play instrument, I'll join. I may be in the background. But next time, if somebody needs prayer, I'll pray for him. I'll pray with him. Those are the practice. And this week, Pastor Chow gave us practice. He said, hey, I lost my voice. So Benjamin, you prepare this sermon. I told him, hey, I'll prepare a Chinese one because English is too tough for me. So I started preparing a Chinese one. And then Friday, he told me, oh, I found somebody for Chinese. I need to do the English one. I said, oh. But I know I'm not perfect, but I take the opportunity, I practice. Not because of I can do something, but because I rely on the Heavenly Father. Because I rely on the one give us perfect weather yesterday and give us reminder this morning. And I know there's people pray for me. So I just have a willingness to serve, to share with you. And the last word, may the grace be with you today. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, may the grace of Jesus Christ be with you today. If you have received Jesus Christ, you need His guidance, His Holy Spirit to guide you to say no to some of the things in your heart, to say yes, to live soberly, righteously, and godly, to wait upon the big, glorious appearance of Jesus Christ coming back. May the grace be with you today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you because you have grace upon us. We don't deserve anything because we're sinful. But your grace is upon us. Your love always with us. Father, we thank you for the grace of God, for Jesus Christ came to this world and appeared to us, to all the people, that salvation is prepared for every one of us. And Father, we thank you because without that, we don't know how to live in the current age. Holy Spirit, guide us, encourage us so we can say no to the temptation, to the ungodliness. We can live soberly, righteously, and godly. And we can continue have the blessed hope and wait for your coming back. Father, this time I especially pray for those NCUC students, especially those sitting among us this morning. Be with them. Bless them. Protect them. They have a safe trip back home. And continue to renew them. Holy Spirit, guide them so they can continue to build a personal relationship with you and practice what they have learned from you. And Father, I also pray for George, who is going to go through a surgery operation the coming week. Be with him, because you are the strength, you are the power, and you are his refuge. And bless his family to go through this difficult time. And Father, may the grace be with all of us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Benjamin. You are a big help for me. That my throat can have some rest. And it is a grace for me from God through you. And so I think everyone benefits from the reminder and a good advice. Have grace of Jesus all the way of our life. Is a lifelong blessing, not only lifelong this life, but also eternally. So I just pray and ask God to bless everyone. And let's turn to announcement. we give God the glory for English Club for helping out the MCU student. They are now, Bob and Nancy are now traveling. And we also pray for English students as they are living here back to Taiwan coming Tuesday. And give thanks to God for especially yesterday's wonderful barbecue and new engineers and MCU student. And tomorrow, 6:30, we'll have a special church reunion with Brother Chen. And dinner will be served, and there will be time for singing and talking about God's grace. And he retired, so he will enjoy our friendship, and we also renew our friendship in terms of God's grace upon him and us. So if you may, invite friends and come yourself as well. And number four, pray for a new English pastor. And for the searching committee, we continue to pray and ask God to guide us. And number five, for the sick and missionaries in states and abroad, especially for those in Muslim countries, that's a very dangerous place to serve, but we pray God give them the peace and safety. And and pray for the theme of this church, we can practice and live it up. And for birthday, they are on the list here: Lillian Chen, Jenny Lai, Christina Ling, and Roger Wan, and Steve Lee. If your names are not here, we still say happy birthday to you, and may your days feel the grace of Jesus Christ, his protection and guidance. And as today's message reminds us, our life be fruitful and be growing. And Wednesday, we still continue to have a youth meeting, 5:30. If you are not regularly coming, we welcome you to youth meeting. Anything else? I should make an announcement. If anything, please tell me. Otherwise, let's stand up and let's receive God's benediction. Finally, brothers and sisters, and friends, goodbye. May our life reflect the perfect love of God in Jesus Christ, and live a life with unity, in peace, with God and with each other. And may God shower His love and peace among us, especially to Mingzi's student who is going back to Taiwan. And in holiness, our life will reflect God's grace.